Turn on a mic. Turn on the mic. Is the mic up there? Now we go. All right.
Some fog out there, 35 degrees.
You're not on your regular microphone.
No, I'm on.
You're on
the other mic.
Normally the guest is sitting over here.
Right. We give the guest the good mic, the good chair, the good view.
Well, is that really a good chair?
No, yeah. Not at all.
Well, then, okay. So. Our guest this morning is Jennifer Call, who is with the Oberlin Choristers. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Now,
good
my
morning.
Old beginning ended here. I wanted to play a little of the music of the choristers. Was from last year's Festival of Carols. They were there again last night, along with Vermilion, Lake Ridge Academy, Firelands, Elyria, Oberlin, Clearview, and Wellington as well. So a lot of great vocalists in our county, and all sorts of them come from different things. And the Oberlin Choristers are made up of students from all over
all
the
of those schools. Yes, we're really blessed to have a wide network of singers and families from all over the area. It's really fun that we get to build a larger community of choral music.
Now, I noticed in the past, you share Tim Unger with Lake Ridge Academy as well.
Yes, so, we do.
So he either has similar, some people are in both. Though,
he does.
Or you try to combine them as well. So it's,
yes, it's really fun to have our conductors as educators in the schools, because they're connecting with the kids on a 40-hour-a-week basis, and so then they get to extend their day with us and with the kids who have chosen to extend their studies in choral music. So as a teacher, you really get to fill your passion.
And it's fun as an audience member, and over the years I've seen, you can kind of see the students are in one, and then they'll appear later. And sometimes you're thinking to yourself, well, that was the person I was sort of paid attention to in that choir, because there's something about their presence that's added, that creates it, and the Oberlin Choristers kind of fuels into that too.
Absolutely, right? And we feel like that goes both ways. Students go to their schools with that kind of passion, and their teachers notice it in class and say, you obviously love this, go check this out. And then they have another place to go where they find other kids who have just the same passion, who glow the same way when they're on stage, and we bring them all together in one ensemble.
You have something coming up on December 19th. This is your Songs for the Season. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is one of our standing traditions, one of our favorite concerts of the year. It's in the historic Finney Chapel on Oberlin College campus. This year is our 25th anniversary, so we are having an alumni choir join us. So we will have three of our regular season choirs plus a guest alumni choir, where people are coming back from the past 25 years to sing together and sing with Catherine Plank, the founder and former artistic director. It's going to be a really fun evening.
So when you said alumni, I thought, well, maybe 2 years removed, 3 years, but you're talking somebody that probably has a family, maybe has not done this for a while, and this is just a chance for them to kind of see if they still have it.
Yes, to reconnect. And it's so much fun to hear from them, to hear their stories, to connect with them. We have an alumni Facebook page, and we've been putting historic photos here and there.
They have to explain their hairstyles.
And it's really funny. And they remember, you know, the songs that they sang, and they remember the tours that they went on. And people are flying in from all over the country, people who have gone on to other careers that are coming back to be a part of this.
And I'm guessing you'll have a different sound, because some of those people will be maybe 40, 42 years old.
Right. They're adults now, so they have adult voices. We had a little glimpse of it. We had a fall gala and had a smaller alumni group for that. And these singers didn't sing together until the morning of that program. And immediately their voices just clicked together. And we laughed about, once a chorister, always a chorister. They used their musical ears. Their voices started to blend within the first 30 minutes of rehearsal. It was really exciting.
It's interesting you talk about adult voices. So that's a challenge you deal with, too, with the choristers, right?
Oh, it's one of the perceived challenges, but actually immense joys. Now, we get to work with singers from kindergarten through 12th grade. And so the vocal development that happens on that journey is really special and really valuable for them to be with us for that entire journey, because we can help them through every single stage.
Help them through keeping that instrument. We just had the tuba player in who has an instrument that has to, you know, make sure that it's working properly. Same thing for the vocalist too, right?
Absolutely. And our program is built on vocal health techniques and things that can help them sing for a lifetime. There are lots of different styles out there that kids will imitate in not the most healthy way, and it could do lifelong damage if they're not careful with that. And so we feel great responsibility to help them learn how to sing all styles with healthy technique.
You talk about that journey. In years past when we've had you on, you've talked about some of the journeys you've taken with the kids to other states, other countries, anything coming up.
Oh my goodness, yes. So we do get to travel every summer, and Cantera Musica is our traveling ensemble. And this year they have been invited to sing at Carnegie Hall. And we will be singing a solo set at Carnegie Hall on June 19th. We are over the moon about that opportunity.
Have you been there before?
We, as an ensemble, have gone many years ago as part of a festival choir. So in this particular trip, we are going to be part of a festival as well. And we were selected as the spotlight chorus that comes out and sings by themselves.
I've never been there. A lot of major recording artists have recorded there. Talk about the acoustics there. Are they good?
They're fabulous. I personally, as a singer, had the opportunity to sing there once. And being on stage, you feel the weight of history, the weight of the musical talent that has been on that stage. And as you sing, you know, the multiple balconies looking up, it is overwhelming. And I tell the kids this, that I spent a portion of one movement of one of the songs that I was singing with a larger choir just weeping because it was so beautiful. I said, thankfully, there were about 200 people in that choir. Nobody noticed that I wasn't singing. But it's really a spectacular place, and a place you can't describe with words. You just have to be there.
Wow. Is it bigger than you think it is, or is it smaller than you imagine?
It's smaller than you think it is. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And you think, you know, you'll probably wonder backstage, they should have more room backstage here. Of course, you know,
right.
I suppose theaters at one point, you know, build certain, at a certain era, that was it.
And they're very small, narrow hallways in the back. The wing space is non-existent. Your green room is very small, and it's fun. It's part of the experience.
But it's all about being on the stage, though.
Right.
That's where you want to get to there as well. Mm-hmm. And again, people will be able to see the Oberlin Choristers, their songs for the season, coming up on December 19th at 7:30. Ticket prices?
We have reserved seats for $14, general admission for $11, and for seniors and youth, $9. They're available on our website. That's www.ochoristers.org. You can also call the office.
And is the season ending for you or beginning when people are becoming a member of the choristers? When do they usually join?
For our younger ensembles, kindergarten through fourth grade, it's a registration process. So we actually have a rolling registration as long as there's space available. Now, our youngest ensembles, I believe, are full at this point, the Dulcis Musica, which is kindergarten to second grade. And we only allow a certain number in that group because we want to be able to serve them properly and not overfill it. That our next ensemble could have more kids in it, and so we have more room in there, and that's just registration. But once you get to fifth grade, we have evaluations and auditions, and those happen in the spring.
Is there a time when a young person comes in and you or somebody on your staff says, I can't believe what I'm hearing. This is really something.
I don't want to be dramatic, but honestly, every time. Kids come to us because they're passionate. And so they've already got that spark. And audition processes in my teaching history have sometimes been long and tedious, not with choristers. It's a joy. We can go through 6 hours of rehearsals, or excuse me, 6 hours of auditions in a blink of an eye because you're so excited to hear these kids and they're so excited to sing for you.
Now, many of the songs you have are in different languages. At what point do you introduce that into the repertoire for the students?
Usually day one. I mean, even our youngest singers learn how to sing in other languages, because part of learning to sing in another language is learning how to shape your mouth to say these words. And that's part of learning how to sing in a choir, to shape your mouth a particular way. In a way, it's easier to teach another language than it is to teach English, because we all speak English with our know an accent.
So you're giving them the this is their first way of learning to say that word, and this is the sound, and this is the shape.
Right.
And so you kind of do that.
Yeah.
It's like when you draw a picture. They say sometimes it's easier to draw a something, copy it, turn it upside down so you don't know what it is, and you're just following sort of the shapes, and you create it as opposed to going, oh, that's a face, and then your brain goes, I know how to draw a face, and it looks nothing like the picture that you have.
Exactly. So. And that's the same for singing in English. It's very hard.
So again, you got this coming up on the 19th, still rehearsing, I suppose?
Oh, yes, rehearsing and performing. We've had several community performances already. As the Festival of Carols last night, we performed at Playhouse Square on Friday night. This coming Wednesday night, we'll be at Holiday Lights at the Carlisle Reservation, which is the outside path where all the Christmas lights are set up, and it's fabulous. We perform inside where there's hot chocolate and cookies. We'll also be there next Monday night, and community performances on Tuesday. This is a busy season for us. But it's wonderful. We love it.
Well, you can sing all you want to each other, but it's to sing to an audience is what you're looking forward to doing.
And absolutely.
An opportunity this month especially. Again, the Oberlin Choristers, their songs for the season coming up at Finney Chapel at Oberlin College on December 19th at 7:30. You can find out more at ochoristers.org. Jennifer Call, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.